What's going on, guys? It's Shannon, and Valentine's Day is coming up, and if you are lucky enough to fall asleep that night with someone you love, you need to make sure that you're falling asleep in comfort. Don't make your Valentine sleep in some scratchy, uncomfortable sheets. Give them the luxury feel of Brooklinen sheets. And the good thing about Brooklinen is you'll have the feel of luxury without the price. So you'll have plenty of extra money to buy the perfect Valentine's Day gift. Now, I will be sleeping in my Brooklinen sheets on Valentine's Day, even though I'll be alone, and you should too. Why? Well, because my Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept in, and I think you should experience this too. And Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just to my listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code Shannon at Brooklinen.com. And Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all of their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. But the only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code Shannon at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com, promo code Shannon. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So one conversation that we've had recently that keeps coming back to me every single day, literally, every day, has been how do you wash your privates? Because we were talking about you having a loofah and me not understanding how you wash your privates along with the rest of your body with the same thing. Okay. And so then I got smart and I Googled, how should a lady wash her privates? And it said, with your hand. That was life-changing. So now I remember that conversation every time I take a shower because I have to tell myself, don't wash your privates with the same thing you just washed your foot with. Use your hand. Because used to, I would just turn the washcloth over. So I'd wash everything on one side first and then my privates with the opposite side of the washcloth. Come to find out, that's not what I was supposed to do for all these years. So you're supposed to wash your privates with your hand. Duh. So some, I don't know how my Googling ended up with me finding this very intriguing topic. The body part you wash first tells a lot about your personality.
Okay.
Of course I have to look and see if it's true. Duh. So Deontay, what body part do you wash first?
Face.
Of course you're going to say face. See, but I'm not that, I will wash my face first-ish if I'm not washing my hair.
Oh.
I don't want the shampoo and stuff to be on my face after I wash it, so I feel like I have to wait. Anyway, if you wash your face first, Deontay, you have to tell me if this is true.
Okay.
If you start to wash your face first, you're very into all of the senses, all five of them. This means you're very concerned with how you act in a particular place in front of other people, and you take the utmost care of the body part where people notice you first, your face.
No.
You're vain, is pretty much what that's saying. You're always concerned about how other people think of you, and sometimes you're stressed and frustrated and might feel embarrassed in front of other people.
Nope.
It's hard for you to hear bad things from other people.
Nope.
None of that's true.
I very rarely think about what other people think of me.
Okay. If you wash your privates first, you might be a very shy person if you wash your private part first. It's a part, not parts.
Oh.
Is it part or parts?
I always say parts.
Okay. You might be falling into an introvert category or a person with low self-esteem. You will not be much heard in society, but the people who stay close to you will say that you are the most genuine person on earth. All that from washing your privates first.
So what if you wash your arms first?
Hold on, let me scroll.
Sometimes I get in the shower and I wash my body first.
Washing arms and legs first symbolizes the strength and willpower. And then the sentence just ends. It doesn't say the strength and willpower of what. Therefore, washing these parts first shows your fearlessness of expressing your choices. Either you hate something or you love it. If you tend to wash your armpits first, it indicates that you are a popular person in the community and that you are reliable and trustworthy. You are also a person who is not afraid to do hard work.
I'd like to meet the people who came up with these personality traits.
Now, here's my question. On the weekends for me, showers are options. They're optional. I don't have to shower every day. I haven't shaved my legs in probably a week. Some days, my armpits are all that I wash. I'll sniff down there. If it's not completely fresh, I'll take a baby wipe. I'll wipe it down, reapply deodorant, and bam, I'm good as new. So what about the, it doesn't say anything if about it, your armpits being the only part that you wash. Okay.
I don't know, Shannon. I just shower every day.
If you wash your chest first, you might be a person who is confident and comfortable in your own choices. You're practical, straightforward, you're committed, and hardly get confused when something troubles you. You are independent, and people will appreciate you for this. That's only if you wash your chest first. But what if you're one of those crazy people who washes their hair first? You're going to be a person who will give your attention to discipline and order if you intend to wash your head or hair first. You are considered for being a person with a firm opinion about everything, and you strongly believe in being practical. You are punctual, and you manage time very well.
Oh.
You always put brains first before wealth when you choose your friends.
Again, I'd like to meet the person who came up with all of these personality traits.
I really need to stop clicking on links and stuff, don't I? this is shameful.
It's pretty deep.
It's really deep, and it's got no basis, really.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't say that it's a scientific study where they brought in 1,000 people and studied their shower habits. What if you change it up, like me?
Yeah, I think sometimes I do.
See, now I want to wash my feet first tonight. Just so that I can show that this article is wrong.
Maybe if you wash your feet first, your personality traits will change.
Okay, question. Maybe I'm weird.
Maybe.
Do you wash between your toes? Like, do you pull your toes apart and scrub between them?
No.
What? I do. I will lose my balance scrubbing between each one of my toes. Why bother washing your foot at all if you're just going to half-ass do it?
I mean, I wash my feet, but I'm standing in the water with the soap is running down the drain.
But your loofah is not touching between the toes to get the gunk out.
I mean, I don't have gunk between my toes, Shannon.
There's no way you don't have gunk between your toes. That's like lint in your belly button.
I don't know.
Even though you don't think about it, it's going to be there.
Well, I don't know. I wash my belly button every time I take a shower.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm scared to stick my finger in my belly button all the way and wash it.
Why?
Like, I'll wash the outside of it, but I haven't any. So it's kind of pointless. Because I feel like if I push hard enough, I'm going to break it. Are you an innie or an outie?
An innie.
Okay. You don't feel like you're going to break your belly button if you push too hard?
No.
Really?
Yes.
Because I feel like it's kind of like thread is holding it together, and if I accidentally hit the thread the wrong way with a nail that's grown too long, then it's gonna break.
It's not cloth, Shannon.
And then what's gonna happen? What happens if your belly button breaks?
It's not an actual button.
It's like skin crumpled up that's healed together, and it can come apart. That's kind of like the crease of your body. Let's think of it that way. Your belly button's kind of like the crease of your body. And you want it to hold strong because there's a whole lot of skin depending on it. But if it breaks, then you're screwed.
Except that's not the way it works.
You don't know. Can you break your belly button?
Google it.
Look at my belly button.
Uh-huh.
Do you see the skin that's come together? Like, can you see in there?
Yes.
And the skin that's come together? And can you, do you see why I would think that maybe it's possible it could break?
No. Also, I don't see a string.
I didn't say there was a string. I said it's like a string. Something's holding that together. What is it? It's not scar tissue, because I have scar tissue on my head from my surgery, and that hurts. My belly button doesn't hurt. In fact, my belly button feels pretty darn good sometimes when I wash it on the outside. But I'm never going to go inside because I think the fear would overwhelm me so much that even if it did feel good, I couldn't appreciate it.
I think it may be time to adjust your meds.
Oh, I quit taking them. Well, Did I tell you that? Did I tell you that?
That explains a lot, Shannon.
I quit taking those. Yeah.
That explains a lot.
I thought it was going really good being off my meds, but apparently I'm wrong. What? That was probably the most sincere thing you've said to me all week. Said it's a bad idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you might need to revisit that.
But now that I think about it, this is, oh my God, this has opened up a whole new train of thought for me. If you think about your ears go into your brain. Is it just skin from your ear hole to your brain hole?
I don't think you can reach your brain through your ears.
I didn't say you could reach it through your ears, but the ear hole has to go somewhere. No, it goes to your nose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why when you get a cold and stuff, you can get an ear infection.
Right.
Okay, never mind that train of thought then. That was a stupid train of thought that I just had. And I will willingly acknowledge that.
That's why there's an ear, nose, throat doctor.
Yeah.
That and makes, a brain doctor.
That makes so
two
much.
Two different doctors. So
well said, Deontay.
That's really smart, actually.
That really just opened my eyes to so many things that I didn't go to the ENT when I had the brain thing going on.
Yeah.
I went to the neurosurgeon. Huh. Thanks.
There you go. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Dee.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, I'm just looking down at my new shoes that I bought because I'm thinking about starting a dance group. And I've been watching a lot of dance videos on YouTube, mm-hmm. and this is the kind of shoes that they wear. Mm-hmm. And so I ordered some online because I feel like I have to have the materials before I can actually do the thing. So I'm breaking them in.
Okay.
Yeah. Real story.
Interesting theory.
Thinking about starting a Mid-Cities dance group. Want to join?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll talk.
Okay.
So here's something, Shannon, that you may not know about me.
Oh, what?
Now, you know that I freak out about little things.
Uh-huh.
Like,
you're very dramatic.
If I'm running late.
You're dramatic.
If things go out of order.
Dramatic.
Or if things aren't where they're supposed to be.
Very dramatic.
But in a crisis,
uh-huh.
I am your girl.
Why?
Because I freak out about things that I feel like I should be in control of.
Mm-hmm.
So little things that don't go according to plan,
mm-hmm.
I think stress me out.
Okay.
Because then I should have organized that better, or I should be able to get out of the house on time. Or
right.
Because I have control of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But things that are out of my control, I don't stress about because it's not on me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
A few weeks ago, I was on my way home from my workout, which is at the crack of dawn. So I'm heading
right.
home about 6 o'clock in the morning and it's still dark outside.
Uh-huh.
And I'm driving down the street and I see someone walking on the sidewalk to my right. And my initial thought was, wow, that girl is really short.
Okay.
So I guess in my head, I was thinking maybe she was like a high schooler going to, you know, an early workout or whatever. But as I pass her, I look and it's a little girl.
How little?
Like Jude little.
Okay.
She was
like
really,
five-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was really tiny. And I think that's what struck me so much was that she was just so little.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, I kind of thought for a second, maybe I didn't see that correctly. So I make a U-turn. I'm coming back the other way and I look at her again and she is little.
Right.
She's like a five-year-old. She's walking down the street. She's by herself
uh-huh.
and it's dark outside. And I thought about going over to her, but then I thought, I mean, it's dark outside and the street is, it's a main street. It's called Main Street, but there are street lights, but they're pretty far apart. So there's lots of dark little pockets
uh-huh.
along the street. So I didn't want to scare her. I didn't want her to run off, especially because I'm in a car and then I wouldn't be able to, you know, catch her. So I call 911.
Okay.
And I'm like, there's a little girl walking down the street and she's all by herself.
And what do they say?
Well, you know, then they start asking you the questions. What's she wearing? Does she have anything with her? I guess in their head, they were wondering if maybe she ran away. Did she, you know, she wearing a backpack? Well, she was fully dressed. Mm-hmm. She had on a coat.
Okay.
So it's not like she was neglected, you know, or homeless or something. But I don't know. It was just weird. So they wanted me to stay on the phone with the 911 operator until the police come.
While you're following the little girl?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. So, but along that street, there's a office building complex.
Uh-huh.
So I pulled into the office building complex and waited for her to pass. Mm-hmm. And again, she looked like she knew where she was going. She didn't look like she was confused or lost. She was just walking down the street. Okay. Like, no big deal. And it was funny, when she got to the driveway where the office building was, she stopped at the driveway and she looked around to make sure there were no cars coming. And then she darted across the driveway and then she got to the other side and then she just kept on walking.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. So I'm still watching her. I'm still waiting on the police. I'm like, okay, are they coming? Like, what's the holdup? Where could they be at 6 o'clock in the morning? But at that at the corner of the street where that street intersects with another street, there's a grocery store and a gas station and right. It's a strip center. So as she's walking up that way, I thought, okay, I'll come out. And then, because at this point, my concern is this is a main intersection. Mm-hmm. So I'm concerned if someone doesn't see her, or I don't want her to get hit by a car. I don't know if she's going to stop at the red light or. So there's the intersection and then that little curve so you can make a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets up there. And then I see her cross the little turn part. And I'm telling the operator, I'm like, she's about to cross the street. So I pull out and I drive up and I'm next to her at the intersection. And she's just standing there. And it's a red light. So I'm like, I don't know if she's going to go. I'm worried at this point because I don't want her to run out into the street if cars are coming.
Uh-huh.
But then the light turned green and then she continued to stand there. And I didn't want to, at that point, again, scare her if I'm not going. So I crossed the intersection and turned around into the gas station on mm-hmm. the corner. And as I did that, the police pulled up.
Okay.
So the police pull up and I see him roll down the window and he says something to her and then he gets out of the car and then he talks to her for a second and then he picks her up and he puts her in the car. And then a backup cop comes. So at that point, I'm back out on the street, like about to go home. And I thought I should probably go say something to him. So, you know, if they have any questions or whatever, because I don't think that the operator took my name and number. Maybe she did. I don't remember. So I hop out of my car and I run over to the police officer. And I'm like, by the way, I'm the person that called this in. And I heard the other officer tell her, well, they said you've been walking for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't hear anything else after that. And I said, she's been walking since, you know, way down at this other street. I said, but she looked like she knew where she was going. She just was walking down the street. And again, she's fully clothed. She has on shoes, leggings, a shirt. She's got on a jacket, the whole thing. So he's like, okay, he takes my name and number. If we have any questions, we'll call you, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And as soon as I got in my car, started to cry, just lost it. I think it's because, again, in a crisis, I've got it together.
Mm-hmm.
At no point was I.
But it's not a crisis. But exactly.
I mean,
it's some. I can see why you were alarmed, but. I mean, it's not like she's on fire or something.
I know, but I just, I mean, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know where,
no,
why
I get
she's
it.
Walking.
I get it. I get that.
I just, as soon as I got my car, I just lost it. I mean, but again, I was calm through the whole thing. I held it together. I didn't, you know, freak out or panic or, but as soon as I got the car, I just lost it. I was like, oh my gosh. And I couldn't get past the part she was just so little. And
yeah.
I think that's what really struck me. Is she was just so tiny. Anyway, I got home and by that point I'd pulled it back together. But as I walked into the house, I came into the bathroom. Kelly was getting dressed and he goes, what's wrong? You look a little. And I was like, I am. I am frazzled. There's this little girl. So, but then later that morning I found out. So one of the dad of one of Miles's friends
uh-huh.
is a police officer in that city.
Okay.
And so his mom asked his dad if he could find out what happened mm-hmm. to the little girl. And they got her home safely. Apparently, she woke up and wanted to go see her friend.
Oh.
And got dressed and just walked out of the house while her mom was asleep.
Oh, my gosh.
Just.
And if you're the mom and your kid does that, what do you even do? I think I would lose it. I really think I would lose it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think on one hand, you're so happy that they're okay.
Uh-huh.
But the other, you're just like, why would you do that?
Yeah, that's not smart or okay or any of the things.
I know. But kids are, I mean, at that age, they just don't have the forethought that you could get hit by a car or somebody could take you or you could get lost or they just don't.
Yeah,
they don't know. They don't know to think that. They don't have the brain development to think that far ahead. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you can't be mad at them for that.
You got to be something at them for that. Otherwise, they're going to do it again.
But that's the other thing, too. I mean, I think you can say then like all of then you tell them all the things that could have happened. And then that's why you can't do that. That's why you don't do that again.
And does the mom get in trouble for that kind of thing?
No, I don't think so.
If there's no signs of neglect or anything.
I think that's just. Yeah. I mean, what would make you think that you would need to make sure that your 5-year-old doesn't leave the house at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Like, I don't think that would cross my mind.
It wouldn't.
You know, I'll never forget that little girl went out. But when I was younger, mm-hmm. I don't know if I've told you this before, but somebody left my mom and dad's front door unlocked mm-hmm. and a drunk man walked in and slept on our couch that night.
No way.
Yes. He had no idea where he was. He didn't do anything to anybody. He didn't touch any. He didn't steal anything. He just came in our house, got on our couch and went to sleep. And I think one of us woke up the next morning and saw this man on our couch and woke my dad up. And that didn't go so smoothly. But, yeah, a drunk guy just had no clue where he was and came in our house to sleep it off.
Wow. Okay, so I have a similar story.
What?
Again, great in a crisis. I was in 7th grade,
uh-huh.
which means my sister was, I don't know, 2nd or 3rd grade. It was after school, and I'm at home. Home after school, my sister was up the street playing with one of her little friends, and I was on the phone because that's what 7th graders did back then. And the way that our house was set up was we had our driveway was in the back, but mm-hmm. we didn't have an alley.
Okay.
So it just led from the street around back.
Okay.
And we never used our front door. So the garage door was always open because it's in the back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have the backyard. And then we had a little courtyard in the center of the house that was right off of the back part of the garage.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm on the phone and I'm, you know, talking to my friend, blah, blah, blah. And then I see this woman and she's completely disheveled. She's just talking, running her mouth, just rambling. And she comes into the courtyard and she's banging on the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Let me in. She's just like crazy talk.
Uh-huh.
And the garage door was open. Like the garage part was open and then of course the door to the house was open because that's how my brother and sister whoever went in and out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is a crazy woman. And I'm on the phone with my best friend, so I tell her call the police because there's this crazy woman outside. So I put the phone down, I run to the garage door that leads into the house, I lock it, and then I come back to the phone and I'm like, oh my god, my sister is down the street. What if she comes home? I said, I have to call them and tell them to keep my sister. Don't let her come home. And so the operator calls that girl's house. So now there's 4 people on the phone. It's me, my best friend, the operator, and we're calling where my sister is. And that girl's mom wasn't home, but her big sister was.
Okay.
So I'm telling this girl, do not let my sister come home. You have to keep her down at your house. And she's like, what's wrong? Don't worry about it. Just don't let her come home until I call you. So here we are. And the operator's asking me, what's she doing? I'm like, I don't know. She's rambling and talking and just whatever. So then the police, it seemed like it was forever. But then the police finally came and they come inside the house. And I've tried to explain to them what happened. And by this point, you know, I've hung up the phone. And then my mom comes home. So imagine you come home and you see police in front of your house.
Oh, yeah.
So she comes, she parks in the front of the house, which never happens. She pulls up behind the police officer. She starts walking up the walk and I see her and I run to her. And as soon as I see, as soon as I saw her, I lost it.
Yeah.
And just began to cry. But again, I held it together through the whole thing. But apparently, I think she was like schizophrenic and she was off of her meds. And so she was just wandering, I guess, and wandering up and down the street and just saw our, not all of the driveways went to the back of the house. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, she came to ours. And but it was crazy that she went into the courtyard and didn't come into the actual house.
Yeah.
Because she could have easily. And that would have been just as scary.
Oh, that would have been horrible.
Yeah. I probably would have just run out the front door.
Yeah.
But.
Well, now I know.
Crazy people everywhere.
That if I'm ever having a heart attack or anything, that I should call you.
That's right.
For sure. Screw 911. Call Deontay.
That's right. Great in a crisis.
See you later, alligator.
Guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
Goodbye.